The What Geeks Do Network presents...
Welcome to Twi'lek Talk, a Star Wars podcast, with your hosts, Rob Solo, Darth Dylan, and Old Ben.
Welcome to Twi'lek Talk, the only Star Wars podcast that has tried death sticks, didn't inhale, and recommends that you don't either. I am one third of your co-hosts. I am Old Ben, and I am joined by Rob Solo.
Hey, y'all.
And, of course, Darth Dylan.
Wait, who are you guys again? Oh, yeah. We still do this.
It's been a while. We do apologize for the lateness on this review, but we really needed to sit down and dissect this movie because as Star Wars fans, guys, I think you can agree that's what we do best. Yeah. We sit down, we dissect, we look at it from different angles. But today we are proud to bring you our review of the latest Star Wars film, The Last Jedi. And I got to say, this movie has divided both the fan base and critics so much.
Yeah, certainly.
Some say it's a modern masterpiece and better than... Empire Strikes Back, okay. And others say it's complete garbage, lacking direction, and makes Attack of the Clones look like Casablanca. Now, was it really that bad? What do you guys think? What did we like? What did we not like? What were on? Let's talk.
Let me just say real quick, I've never seen Rob that sad. Like, there's a picture, I think. I don't know if it's on the page or not, but it's literally like the last time I've seen him smile like that. And I think he's forever changed.
Yeah, I haven't smiled since that Thursday night.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I feel bad for you.
Like a sad Keanu Reeves, a sad Rob meme.
Yeah.
I feel like that Ben Affleck meme with the Batman v Superman movie. Okay. I just like you saw me smile, and then, like if you had snapped a photo of me exiting the theater, I would have looked like Ben Affleck in that meme.
What was the first thing I said to you after the movie ended?
The first thing you said was you looked to me and you said that was a long movie.
Oh yeah,
yes.
You said to me that was weird, and you didn't know how to feel.
That's weird.
How I felt too.
Mm-hmm. I felt weird, like itchy in my skin.
Yeah.
Like itchy in my soul.
Does that make sense? Itchy in your skin? Like kind of like...
I mean, yeah.
You're in a spacesuit or something?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. It's like this. Have you guys ever been dumped while totally in love?
Yeah.
I've only ever been with one person, so...
All right. So think of this. Just when you think like your relationship is solid as a rock, right? That it could withstand anything. Then out of the blue comes this unexpected breakup. And you're
I know what you mean.
You're devastated. And
she astral projects and then throws you out the window.
I don't know. That's how
I felt.
And
then you're flying through the...
Brian Johnson crushed your hopes and dreams. We had so much faith in this guy. If you listen back to our episode from Celebration, we were really hyped.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of people were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know why? Because those trailers were completely misleading.
They were certainly with the books, they showed everything that we thought we were going to see. I feel like that movie is a blur to me. Like, I feel like it is insignificant.
Yeah.
They showed you what they wanted you to see. Now, I mean, there was like I said, we were going through it. There are things though that I did like about this movie. Maybe we can start with the likes then
positive. Let's get positive.
Okay. Let's get positive.
Let's talk about Rose. Yeah.
Being said, let's dial it back a bit and think about the positives. I know a lot of people enjoyed this, and I'm happy when anyone enjoys anything, even if I didn't. I'm just saying that. I'm Rob Solo. I'm just saying that. You guys take it.
Yeah.
I need a second.
See, now we hold back the tears. Hold back those porg tears.
Kylo Ren with his nipple pants.
You know, it spawned an amazing meme.
Yes.
So that's one good thing.
We have that first on the list. But speaking of Kylo, though, I gotta say that I did like the Rey Kylo dynamic in this film. It was a little weird, the whole like astral projection Skype thing that kept on going on between them that Snoke sort of, I guess, you know, made happen. But I did enjoy it. I thought that they have the character, the actors themselves have good chemistry, and I did enjoy. And I guess that's one of the most important things going into episode 9, is that if that dynamic doesn't work, then this movie is just like, well, what do they have going for them moving forward? You know,
I agree with you. The dynamic between the two was probably the best part of the movie, and the astral projection thing was a little far for me. Darth Dylan.
Yeah, I just feel like this whole film was very muddled, and it almost seemed like a compilation or like a collage of sorts. It didn't really feel like a movie to me, and I feel like it was a jumbling of different sequences, and sometimes we're seeing, you know, like the scenes with Holdo, we're seeing the Canto Bite sequence, we're seeing Luke and Rey training, then we do get the scenes with Kylo and Rey. Which I do think there were good scenes, but I just think as a movie, I don't know if it was the editing or if it was just the direction. I don't know. It was just, I do think the scenes with Kylo and Rey were probably some of the best in the film, along with, you know, seeing Yoda was really cool. But
all right, so the Yoda thing, do you want to get right into that?
Because I guess,
sure, yeah.
I'm just going to say this. All right, so the Yoda thing. All right, no problem, right?
It's weird, though. It's like, I don't even know.
And the Yoda lightning scene, for example, like Force Ghosts can make lightning.
Apparently they can now.
I don't know.
With that, I have to say that maybe they'll explain it more in episode 9. I think a lot of this stuff, unfortunately, I think what this movie kind of failed to do is it set up a lot of things, but didn't really explain a lot of things. And I know that movies sometimes aren't supposed to do that. I know that a lot of things that happened in the original trilogy that people loved, like, didn't explain. Like, in the original trilogy, there was no backstory for Palpatine. No one knew. He was just this mysterious figure and blah, blah, blah. But I think you got to give the audience something.
This is for moviegoers. It's not for Star Wars fans. So let's be honest. Yoda was goofy for the shortest period of time. That's pretty good. In The Empire Strikes Back, he was goofy for a short period of time. If you look back at all of the movies, he doesn't act like that. That dancing and goofing about, not my Yoda.
Nostalgia.
I'm gonna make a shirt with a pic from that clip. It says not my Yoda. What do you guys think? Would you buy that? He's a goofball, man. That shit just doesn't fly with me.
I
saw it differently. I think we even talked about it before. I saw it a little bit differently. I saw it as he was trying to just get through to Luke, like, look, yes, it's Jedi text. It's important, but there's more to it than just the Jedi text. And I think maybe a little bit it was just the fact that he was trying to teach Luke another lesson, and that's the only way he could sort of relate to Luke. I don't know. I mean, I had a little bit of a trouble with the way visually he looked. It was with the blue eyes and the blue sort of, it looked a little bit weird, but they did use the puppet.
They used the puppet, but his face looked funny.
It did.
Yeah, right.
Force Ghosts also age. I don't know.
Do we all agree that, like, his, no, Force Ghosts don't age? I don't like that.
It was. it's kind of a metaphor for the whole series, what they're doing right now. They're adding in something that we know and love and that we remember, but they're also adding in completely different and new aspects. And I don't know. I feel like it was kind of like a goodbye to everything that we've known in Star Wars in that sequence. Especially for this new trilogy, at least.
Totally.
I will say one of the things I did, I mean, obviously, one of going, you know, down the like list, I mean, Yoda, the R2 and Luke, you know, the scene, the Luke and Leia scene. I found that besides the Rey and Kylo stuff in the throne room fight, which we'll get into, I think some of my favorite things, and maybe it's just because I'm biased because I grew up on the original trilogy, but some of my favorite stuff was the old school character, you know, scenes and the callbacks to things.
So you're talking about what old school? You're talking about Luke, Leia, and Yoda?
Yeah, Yoda. Yeah. And, you know, just, you know, even 3PO with Leia, you know, just
true.
Those, you R2. Know, those relationships have, at least for me, Rob too, even though Dylan, you're younger than us, but those things, like, I remember that stuff, and it's cool revisiting and seeing where these people are 30 years later. But totally.
I liked definitely. It. Like, it was definitely a nostalgic thing. R2, like with the hologram, that scene, and C-3PO, and having the moment with Luke and Leia. It's like, because there's such a rich yep. past, and it's like they've come so far, and they're older.
Yeah, those were great moments.
Those were the dice that hung for yeah. the Millennium Falcon. Like that was a good thing.
That's why I view it more as a collage, I think, yeah. and not a film.
Like a best of, but with added sort of. With you added know, here, but here's thriller. Some bonus material.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm.
I see. Yeah, I feel you.
You know what? That is the first thing that I've heard about this movie that made me feel a little bit good about it.
What's that?
What you what? Guys just said about how it's like a homage, you know?
Yeah, like a high school reunion where a bunch of dickheads show up.
Hey, Yoda's not a dickhead. Come on.
Like, I felt like I'll tell you guys, like, the first 10 minutes of the movie, I'm going to be completely honest. First 10 minutes, they made so many jokes. I thought they were playing yeah. a trick on us. I thought they were going to come out and yell, like, jokes on you. Jokes. You know, this is Saturday Night Live skit.
I was surprised they did it. Yeah. I was appalled, actually, the fact that they added in that many. You know, and I have a thing about that, too, because if Snoke is really this powerful leader, why is he making jokes, toying? I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. Darth Vader was fearsome. Right. Palpatine was fearsome.
I get that
these guys do not have any impact on me.
I get the Darth Vader force choking someone through the screen. You see the subtlety as opposed to Snoke smacking General Hux's face and dragging him in front of everyone up and down. It's overdone.
They still added in the humor, like that slapstick, and you know, humor.
Your mama jokes in Star Wars? It's been said before, but come on, man. I don't want to hear your mama jokes.
Yeah, I'm all about, again, you know, Rob, you and I were talking about earlier, like, you can't continue doing Star Wars with the same, with exactly the same sort of thing. You do have to add nuance. You do have to add new things. But I felt like with the humor, it was, in my opinion, it was really bad at times. I felt like one of our friends had said, it's almost as if Rian Johnson had never seen a Star Wars film before.
I honestly felt that way, old Ben.
Credit to Owen, by the way.
Going in, I thought this dude was like a Star Wars fanatic. Leaving the theater, I was like, has he ever watched Star Wars? You know? And that's not a good feeling. I think what happened was
Rian Johnson had a nice script written out. He really had to use the bathroom and a little bit slipped out on the script.
When the movie that threw me off. That was good. When the movie starts out, right off the bat, because we're talking about the beginning, right? I have a very specific feeling that I have resonating inside me. I don't know if I'll ever be able to let go. The first 20 minutes of the film or so, it was the bad jokes that started out that I seriously felt like it was a fucking skit. And I almost felt awkward. I felt itchy. I felt like I was just looking at the screen. I didn't want to look left or right at anybody because I never know how other people are going to take things.
I felt like there were the choices he made as far as how to get to certain scenes, to certain points in the movie, it didn't work for me. I think that there could have been a more creative way than, I mean, I like the idea of Poe stalling and, oh my, that's only one X-Wing, you know, there could have been this is why I'm not in Hollywood and not a screenwriter, but I think that what they did with the mama joke, and it didn't fit, and I just felt like they could have done other things. Also, too, with the Luke throwing the lightsaber away, that for me was am I gonna sound like a fanboy now? It kind of it was a little sacrilegious, I gotta say.
Yeah, no, it was. I think that was Rian Johnson saying, you know, everything you think is gonna happen is not going to happen.
Oh yeah,
literally throwing the lightsaber away. We waited 2 years to find out what happened with that cliffhanger, literally.
I know. And
he freaking throws the light. I mean,
did your body tense up?
I
didn't know what to. Throughout many parts of the movie, I just sat there. I was like, okay.
I tightened up.
I don't know.
I tightened up when he threw that lightsaber over his shoulder. My whole body tightened up, and I was like, it was like a cringe reaction.
I thought they were going to show the real movie after that. Like, I thought it was going to be like a joke.
I thought Tommy Wiseau was going to show up at some point.
Tommy Wiseau would have done amazing in that movie. Wow. He would have made it like a little bit more watchable, in my opinion.
You know what's crazy is I didn't know.
Look, there's puppets.
I didn't know exactly how you guys felt about The Last Jedi, and I was really interested in getting together and doing this Twi'lek talk to really, because I you know, we all messaged each other after the movie, and I remember thinking like they didn't love it either, but you know, I didn't think you guys felt as strongly as I did.
I've been blocking it out, but I guess I didn't like it that much.
Yeah,
I guess you can call me the Bendu, because I kind of am in the middle. I saw it three times. I enjoyed certain things, but I overall didn't love it like some people did. And it's very weird too, because there's, like we had mentioned, there's this division online, and there are many people that love it that say, well, if you don't love it, then you know you're not a true Star Wars fan. And then there's people that hate it that say, boy, if you loved The Last Jedi, then good luck. I'm getting off this rock.
In the wise words of Mark Hamill, it's just a movie.
It's all right, fun. That concludes Twi'lek talk for this week.
I do love Mark Hamill's performance in the film.
At points, I don't know. At times, I felt like he looked like a WWF wrestler. You know, like Hogan's getting beat down.
Oh, and he's hulking up. Yeah,
and he starts hulking up, and like his hand goes up. When she breaks the rocks, it's like he's got those like Hulk Hogan eyes. And I love Mark Hamill. Don't get me wrong. I fucking love the guy.
I just think everything he's in is a good actor.
A lot of it is directing, and I'm blaming everything on Rian Johnson right now.
I got you.
You know, he looked like Ric Flair at times. know,
I think with like Luke and stuff, my thing is seeing him, you know, we didn't want to see him as a broken down, beaten man and everything. It's hard to fathom, because, you know, coming out of Return of the Jedi, he was like the smart one. He knew, you know, like he knew there was still good in his father. Yeah, he knew that there is a better way. And he knew that the dark side was not the answer. This is why I had a little bit of an issue with, is the fact that all of a sudden in this movie, even though, it showed he's human, it showed that he, whatever, but the fan in me now is just like, well, I'm never going to get to see that green-sabered Luke Skywalker wrecking shop and taking down Star Destroyers with his pinky. You know what I mean? We're never going to see that.
There's so many missed opportunities.
We heard about it in that little storybook.
I mean, maybe in 9, I mean, that's the thing people are saying in 9, that because of Yoda showing his power on the mortal world, that maybe Luke will in turn become more powerful than we could possibly imagine. So I don't know.
I'll tell you what we did see. We saw creepy Uncle Luke standing over Kylo Ren with his big green lightsaber.
Yeah. Oh no.
That's also a meme now.
Yeah, that should be a meme, because that was fucking creepy and cringeworthy.
I saw three different shots of it, actually.
I did not feel comfortable watching that scene, and that is not my Luke Skywalker. I'm sorry.
You gotta make a shirt of that and Yoda.
It's like, that motherfucker is optimistic. He came face to face with the fucking dark side and rejected that shit. There's no way he's striking down his nephew in the middle of the fucking night with his big green lightsaber. It ain't gonna happen. It just didn't make any sense to me. Sorry.
And someone had pointed out too, like, how did Kylo take down that whole hut, but yet he got out pretty quick?
Luke really left that out, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kylo thought Luke was dead, and he popped out of the rubble.
Lots of loopholes.
Did you say loopholes or Luke holes?
I kind of had Luke hole in my head. I didn't want to say it though. But...
Luke hole. Let's discuss the elephant in the room real quick.
Oh no.
Luke is dead. What a shitty.
Is he? Yeah.
I don't know. This is a shitty death.
Who knows what they're going to
do? My hero died. I could think, I don't know. That scene, the new Jedi ability conveniently pushing this horrible story along, the astral projection, Jedi projection. I don't know. His death, like, he never left Octu, and, like, he just fades away. They really kind of overdid that Force Ghost fade away. It is all just blue rabbit pellets, in my opinion.
rabbit pellets.
Like the force fadeaway, man.
It sounds like a basketball. Here comes the force.
But I don't know. Did you guys think that was a justified death for someone we've been a part of for
They didn't build up his character enough for his death, because I know we do have the original trilogy, but after that, all we have is the last like couple of seconds from Force Awakens, and then however long his screen time was in The Last Jedi, and then he's gone.
Yeah.
I'm just holding out hope that Episode 9 does get... I mean, because like I said, we still have one more movie to go.
Yeah.
Where, and we'll get into that too, but that, you know, JJ can... You have to think that, again, this movie made, you know, hand over fist. So Lucasfilm is not in any way going to be sending up the red flag like, oh boy, we're in trouble. But
you don't think?
No.
They made a lot of money.
If anything, I mean, I think that the way they might spin it, I mean, they might, but the way they might look at it is like, well, hey, you know what? It's we're getting divided, you know, things, but you know what? We made $1 billion and people are still talking about it.
They're
going to buy the DVD. Yeah.
So. Is it the second highest grossing movie? Is that what I heard?
No, I think it's like third or fourth.
It was the highest grossing movie for 2017, I believe.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, for 2017.
I thought it was the second highest grossing of all time. Can you look that up in your little phone?
I think the highest grossing was, what's it called?
Force Awakens was high.
Force Awakens.
Yeah. Awakens was like 2.15 billion. And yeah, this was a little over a billion.
So my question is this. Do they go in thinking, well, we made 2. whatever billion. Let's keep doing what we're doing. Or do they listen to the fans, which the Rotten Tomatoes score is at, 49% for dislikes?
Yep.
I mean, the fans are divided. Ben's right. All Ben's they right. Completely divided down the middle. What do you do in this situation?
Actually, I think now the film is art because it has the ability to divide a fan base like that.
Yeah.
Didn't divide it. I mean, I guess they did, but
I think there was just so much anticipation. I mean, again, you know, Dylan, you mentioned before. We were just, I find it, I'm really curious if Disney executives that saw this before, you know, if any of them were like, wow, there is no way people are not going to, you know, love this movie. I mean, it's just so, it's got this and it's got Luke and it's got Leia and it's
really
got this.
Think they thought that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not them. I'm sure maybe there were a couple that were like, you know, this might divide some people. I don't know.
Why not put some of those many joke scenes in the trailer if that's the case? I think they might have had a good idea that if they had put any of those joke scenes in the trailer, they might not have made 2. Whatever billion dollars on this film. Those joke scenes were atrocious, in my opinion.
I think so too. Like
Finn the walking end. Out with those tubes of water and all that. Shit.
Yeah, I thought I was waiting for the canned laughter and a, you know, Saturday Night Live.
What's
you know,
the sort fuck? Of... Do you guys like that scene? Do you think that's good?
Scene? No,
we're all agreeing that scene sucks.
Which scene?
The scene when Finn wakes up and he walks out.
Oh, yeah.
He's pouring water. Yeah. And he's like, where's Rey?
Poe Dameron grabs his chest.
Oh, Poe Dameron. Don't even get me started. I like Poe Dameron in The Force Awakens. What they did with Poe Dameron in this movie, that was a little sexist. I know that a lot of people say there's a left politics involved. And I can't help but see that there is some sort of left politics agenda that is incorporated in Star Wars in our modern day.
They definitely did incorporate a lot of, you know, like animal rights in the scene in particular on Canto Bight. You know, certain people are going to connect with it. I feel like the character Rose itself, you know, it's going to connect with someone, you know? And I think a lot of people are going to be happy with her character, which is why I don't necessarily despise her character like most people. I do think that some things were planted into this film on purpose. Obviously.
Do you agree, old Ben?
Yeah, I do. I think that, you know, I don't know if there was a quote unquote agenda, but there was just, my thing is that, you know, there seems to be a lot of people that say, I just want to go, because I'm like, I'm in this put me in this category too, is I go to a Star Wars movie to escape the modern world and to escape.
Yeah.
You know, everything. I mean, you know, you turn on the news and it's always something in politics or you turn. Of course, these things are going to be, it's part of Star Wars. I mean, you know, not as much as like when the prequels, but you're going to have these certain aspects. But I feel like, too, that the way in which they're done, if they're subtly done, they're in there. Okay. But if it's, well, it's right here, it's right there. And I understand to move the story, you know, in a certain, you know, direction, sometimes you need to do it. But I felt like, and I guess we're talking about Canto Bight now.
I guess.
I felt like it was such a missed opportunity of, it was like almost like an unneeded detour. The funny thing is someone actually pointed this out, that where the Resistance fleet was, I guess, in the galaxy related to where Canto Bight was, it was like they were over all the way to the right, and like Canto Bight was like so on the other end of the galaxy.
Is that right?
So they went, so Rose and Finn went all the way to the end of this galaxy to find this one guy who could bring them all the way back to the other side of the galaxy. So they, of course, this is fanboy stuff, and you know, the average viewer is going to be like, oh, well, that place is what, like 10 miles away from where they are. I mean, again, that's a mute point. But yeah, I just felt like overall to me, the whole casino planet, it didn't really feel like Star Wars. I mean, in generalization, it just didn't feel like Star Wars to me. It felt like there were a lot of gags. There were a lot of, yeah, it just visually didn't look, I mean, I understand like there are certain things that, you know, they were trying to do as far as here is the elite of the galaxy. You know what I mean?
On Canto Bight.
Yeah, here's the part of the galaxy you don't get to see. But in a way, we kind of did see it a little bit with the prequels, you know, the Senate and the Opera House. I felt like visually they could have gone more into like it didn't have to be all like space tuxedos and just it just looked kind of weird to me. It just didn't look like
aesthetically it was not pleasing,
you know. Yeah. And I do, again, appreciate one of the things I did really like about the movie was they did have, you know, everything from Yoda to the caretakers on the island, to a lot of the creatures on Canto Bight. They did have a lot of creatures and, you know, live puppets.
I miss some of our old creatures, actually. You know, like from the original trilogy, like the Greedo's race, the Rodian, and whatever we saw in the casino, or the cantina.
Yeah.
I feel like they're not using any of those models for the new series.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what, too? They actually, I was telling Rob this before, they seem to just zoom through that casino real quick. So you really couldn't even get a glimpse on anything.
It felt rushed.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, it felt rushed.
I feel like we were in there for a second, then they were riding on that, I don't know the creature's name.
Yeah, Favier, yeah.
Yeah, they were riding on that, and I feel like as they rode past, they were outside and gone. Like, that's what I remember from it.
Look, I'm a vegan. I'll admit that. I'm into animal rights. I don't want it in my Star Wars, and I felt like that. All right, Rose. Let's get into Rose real quick. She is ranked as one of the worst characters in Star Wars history amongst fans.
She's the worst, actually. Yeah, like,
she's up there with Jar Jar Binks. Some polls have her beating Jar Jar Binks. That's bad. If you could top Jar Jar Binks, you're in trouble.
Right? I feel bad for the actress, actually.
I do, too. She goes, she frees some fucking horses and goes, it's all worth it. No, it's not. Are you kidding me?
I also think the scene with Finn, I thought he was going to have an honorable death.
Oh, it would have been good.
You know, it would have been different. It would have been.
What a shocker.
It's a shame because I like Finn as a character, and this movie, I don't know what they did, and I'll get into that later, but I don't know what they did to him in this movie. It was very out of place, just the way he acted.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, if you feel like that too.
Oh, no, I felt that way.
He's not the same character.
I felt that way about him and Poe.
Hmm.
I felt like they were different characters.
J.J. Abrams built up this new universe. I'm just going to go out and say it. I think I like The Force Awakens.
Now I do.
A lot better than, The Last Jedi. Because it felt like a movie to me, at least.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams built up this new universe, essentially. And I thought he did a decent job. I mean, he made a lot of throwbacks to A New Hope. I also think this movie makes a lot of throwbacks to Empire, and I feel like that's just like something they're going to do to try to get people to remember it, you know?
Yeah.
But I just feel like with Rey, she's progressing. With Kylo, he's progressing. But Finn and Poe and BB-8, I feel like, was even progressing in this film. I like BB-8 in this film. I think that was one of the cool parts. He kind of, you know, became
his personality. Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
Is it true BB-8 said, I got a bad feeling about this?
Yeah,
Okay.
Yeah.
That was cool. He droided it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah. I just think that Poe and Finn were like thrown to the curb, cast out. I don't know.
I will say though one thing about Poe, and I agree, Dylan, I totally agree with you that I feel like they could have done, like, they really put that character in some very, I don't know, like questionable sort of scenes. I did like the progression of him throughout the film overall, because I did like the fact that he starts off as the reckless, like, I can just go out and take out all those turrets by myself.
That was a cool scene.
And then Leia admonished him and said, you can't do that if you want to be a leader.
Yeah.
And then as the movie progresses, he definitely takes on that when he confronts Holdo, because he does what he feels is right, even though that blew up in his face. It showed Leia, I think, and the rest of the resistance that this is the guy that we want to be leading us after Leia, you know, is no longer with us. And again, the movie, again, we're talking about it. It's had, you know, it definitely has its issues, but as far as Poe, like, he really did come into his own towards the end and as the heir apparent to Leia. And I did like that progression. And I'm hoping again that episode 9 does push him forward as the leader in the face of the, now I guess they're the rebellion again, because that's sort of what they hinted at, that they're,
no, I agree with that. I can see that.
You old wise bastard, you.
that's why I'm old Ben.
Now I'm totally looking at Poe. Like, I totally see what you just said. That's a positive thing. Thanks, old Ben.
I was focused on the jokes that he was saying, but no, I think you're right.
Yeah. It pulled me out. The jokes pulled me out, but like you're right, because Poe Dameron is becoming the leader of the, which it was a resistance, but now it has become the rebellion. You're so right about that.
Because now if you think about it, the rebellion started off with what? Maybe a handful of cells. Now it's pretty much just everyone that's left on the Millennium Falcon. But what I really do like going forward into episode 9 is the fact that I think we're going to see like the rebellion become sort of what it became, what it started off as. It's going to be all of these loose cells of, you know, Leia put out that call to the Outer Rim and no one answered, but we don't know what's going to happen in 9. Maybe they did get that message and you're going to have those 20 people on the Falcon along with the Chiss maybe, and this other race and this other planet. I think you're going to get this really cool mix of different species and different groups of people that are going to come together to
fight. Leia is kind of like the new Mon Mothma, if you think about it.
That's what I always thought, actually. Yeah.
I never thought that until just now.
No, you're right.
Leading the resistance, which has now, in a sense, like old Ben said, has become the rebellion, because the First Order, through the actions of Force Awakens, has created imbalance amongst like who follows the new Senate, and they've taken control over the Senate at this point. What's really crazy is they don't get into the politics as much as the prequels, so you don't see so much of what's going on with the Senate and whatnot. They speak of it, but they don't show it, you know?
I think episode 9, we're going to see a little bit more of it.
You think so?
I think because, again, you know, from what early reports, what we're seeing, I think JJ, basically episode 9 is going to be wrapping up everything. And we're going to be getting a little bit of everything, I think, in episode 9, as far as the prequels and the originals and callbacks to this. I think there's going to be some sort of, at some point, and I think that would be really cool to see what a George Lucas-less written and directed, you know, Star Wars movie that by someone else, that is what their take is on, you know, the New Republic and what that looks like. And politics are part of Star Wars, and I think that goes beyond the prequels. And I think that definitely could play into episode 9 in some way.
All right. We're going to get into episode 9. We're going to get into all that. We're going to take a commercial break real quick, and we'll come back, finish up our review in The Last Jedi. I'm trying not to be too negative, but I have to be completely honest. You guys are making me see some positives.
I'm being optimistic.
Yeah. You know?
And you're making me see a few more negatives.
I apologize for that.
We're feeding off.
No, it's all good.
I'd rather people enjoy it.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Looking for a galactic getaway that can't be beat? Why, look no further than the most exciting planet in the core world, Alderaan! I'm Mach Moob for the Imperial Tourism Board, here to bring you this incredible deal. Enjoy a 7-day and 7-night stay in the modern and luxurious Aldura Royal Palace, or enjoy a hike in the Juran Mountains. Book now for 2,000 credits and the additional 15 when you reach Alderaan. This deal won't last forever, so make sure to visit Alderaan right before it.
That motherfucker blew up.
Worst vacation ever.
Let me say something. I want to talk about something with you guys. You're my Twi'lek Talk buddies. Admiral Akbar is dead.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it happened.
Yeah, we wouldn't even. I saw it.
I didn't know it happened until after.
I didn't think that was him. I thought it was some other Mon Calamari. But no, it was him.
Did he say it's a trap?
No. It was kind of funny. Someone I'd heard said that it should have been him, not Vice Admiral Holdo, that should have piloted the ship into.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And at some point, like, maybe the Imperials would have said, well, you know, why? What are they thinking about? You know, the whole crew is going to come right at us. And they're like, no, there's nobody piloting that, you know, ship. And all of a sudden they cut back to him. He goes, no, it's a trap. And he goes right through.
Oh, my God. Thank the maker. That would have been amazing. I honestly, I didn't even know he was dead until way after the Mary Poppins Leia floating scene.
Carrie Poppins.
Harry Poppins.
Oh, that was bad. That was,
everyone, what did you guys think of that? First reaction to that.
I think everyone agrees that was bad.
There could have been a better way to show her how her power. Yeah.
I thought Rian Johnson, I thought that's how they were going to end Leia in the series, you know?
Yeah, I thought so too for a second.
But then we see her in floating, and it just looked like, I don't know, it didn't look like a good shot to me.
Now, I don't know if old Ben said this to me or if I had heard this somewhere else, but how cool would it have been if Kylo Ren had used the Force to guide her to safety?
I might have heard that somewhere too, but they could have just gotten to a scene where he could have just closed his eyes and all of a sudden maybe that was too, it would have been too, like, you know, over the top. But because, again, you know, the characterization of Kylo is that he is this conflicted kid that is just, he uses both the dark and light side of the Force. So maybe, you know, again, in his, for a second, he just, you know, but I think him hesitating to fire on Leia, that's enough of the confliction, you know, being conflicted where that was good enough for me. But yeah, that.
It would have been cool. You have to admit.
Yeah.
If he that had saved
yeah, that would have been cool.
That would have been
cool. Did you guys catch the Easter egg, George Lucas floating back there in space?
No. What?
No.
What? George came out and he was very vague about, what did he say about
this movie?
He said
it was a beautifully made movie.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it was.
He never says he likes it or dislikes it. He always just says, like, oh, the fans are going to love it, or...
He did say he thoroughly enjoyed Rogue One because he liked Rogue One.
Who wouldn't? It's amazing.
I did too. That movie's great.
Of course.
Borgullet.
Oh, yeah.
Borgullet. That's awesome.
Another topic we could get into is the upcoming movie, but.
Han Solo.
Yeah, but maybe do you guys want to wrap up
Last Jedi?
Let's
wrap up Last Jedi first.
We'll get into that, though. Did you guys Benicio del Toro's character at all? We were talking about Canto Bight before the break.
He kind of annoyed me, to be honest with you. Because
was he annoying?
Not necessarily. I think just the fact that we were exposed to this cool character, we were theorizing who it's going to be.
Yeah.
And then we find out who it is, and you're like, oh, that's it.
Yeah, and, I mean, again, this movie seemed to be maybe setting up for, well, maybe not even setting up for Mike. Okay, so this is something, if you guys don't mind, I wanted to just touch upon real quick. One of the big issues I think I've had with the new Star Wars so far, I think one of the things they could have done better was stick with one director, one writing team throughout, have a long-term plan in mind so that by the end of episode 9, everyone knew where they were going with the characters, with the story. Because people can say what they want about George Lucas, but he wrote and mapped out all those stories before any film was shot.
It's right, old Ben. That's one of the craziest things they've done, is to allow directors and writers to take a movie by movie in a trilogy. And
so far, it's like, as standalone movies, you know, like I said, like, I enjoyed The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
You know, Last Jedi, there were some things I liked, some things I didn't. But I just feel like they're winging it right now. And for Disney, who has purchased the Lucasfilm for, was it $4.4 billion? I mean, of course, they've already made their money back. I just feel like they should have, for continuity's sake, for story's sake, it would have better served them if they would have said, okay, this is what we're doing. We've got, before we even, because again, they owned it. They didn't have to, like, it wasn't like how it was with, say, Fox with the Fantastic Four, where they had to make a movie every 2 years or they're going to lose the rights. Like, Disney owns Lucasfilm. They own Star Wars. They didn't have to do anything. I mean, you know, they needed to get something going. But I just feel like, in retrospect, having a plan moving forward as opposed to just doing it movie by movie is like, okay, I'm doing this. All right, well, then I'm going to do this. And then the third person's going to do that. It's like, for a standalone movie, you know, with one director, I mean, obviously, if it's standalone, you're not doing more than one, but that's fine. But I think with a trilogy of movies, there has to be this continuity that's weaved throughout. I think that one of the other big issues I had was the characterization, like General Hux, for instance.
Yeah.
In The Force Awakens, he was this bloodthirsty, ruthless leader. That one shot that they showed, it was like Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
But in The Last Jedi, he was like a goofball. He was the butt of every joke. And I understand he's supposed to be a lackey, but it was so just comedic and so out of
place.
I don't know what he was thinking with his script for Hux, but I think I mentioned it before to you guys, the one scene, the worst joke delivery I've ever heard. And when I think back to it, I like gag a little bit. It's that bad. It's when Kylo Ren is saying, "Fire every weapon you have at that man," when he's pointing to the force projection of Luke. He didn't think it was a force projection at the time, but he fires it, and then Luke does the shrug thing, you know, which is, you know, that's, I don't know. But then Huck says, "You think you got him?"
Yeah.
I just thought that was disgusting.
On top of the
Do you know who you're speaking to?
On top of the force throw against the side of the type thing, whatever they're called.
yeah.
Like, he threw him against the wall, and it was like, throughout the whole movie, General Hux was a caricature of, he embraced that, what was loosely, like, interpreted in his character in The Force Awakens. They totally blasted off with that and made him into a fucking joke.
You reminded me of, like, Alfalfa from, like, Little Rascals.
Crazy. He kind of does, actually. I see what you're saying, Darth Dylan. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think that's what he's going for.
Did you like, Ben, did you like the way they went with General Huck?
No, in this one, no. I was saying they set him up in the first movie to be this authoritarian, and if you read any of the novels, he is, you know, his father was, it sounded like his father was abusive to him, and that in turn turned him into this very ruthless kind of leader. And how they get the stormtroopers, you know, at this point is, you know, they basically kidnapped them, kind of how what the Jedi did, but in a meaner way. But I think that was a big problem with this movie, is that they took certain characters from the Force Awakens, and it's like, it's the same person, but playing a different personality, if that makes any
sense. Totally.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And I like that, that Hux character. He sort of is an amalgamation of, like, Admiral Piett and all those, like, underlings from, like, the original trilogy, but given more of a spotlight. And it's a shame. It's a shame. And again, hoping that in episode 9 that JJ and Lucasfilm, like, do listen to the criticism out there and they try to wrap up this arc that's a little more cohesive.
Well,
I think that
maybe Hux will try to assassinate Kylo Ren.
Something. I mean, you know, JJ is also a big, it sounds like he's a history buff. It sounds like he pays attention to not just the Star Wars lineage, but just, and that's what, you know, George Lucas did, is that, you know, that was a, you know, he was commenting on a lot of things going on in the past. You know, it's one of those, you know, it's about, it's a funny thing about history. You know, if you don't, if you continue doing the same thing, you're doomed to repeat it. And yeah. I think that that would, that's a cool angle, actually, that Hux tries to overthrow. But Kylo, I think, is going to be, I think Kylo is going to, in episode 9, is going to be this ridiculously powerful. They have to. They have to give
like
him.
They didn't set it up to be so, I feel like. I still feel like, I don't know. I feel like they could have done a lot more with building him up.
I think they did a pretty good job setting him up as the leader of the First Order.
I don't know. I'm not intimidated by him as a viewer. That's why.
All right, so the Snoke scene, he kills Snoke. That's pretty intimidating.
It's something that Vader couldn't, if you think about it, something Vader couldn't do. He couldn't kill Palpatine, but Kylo was able to kill his master, and that's a big sort of thing.
Whoa. Vader did kill Palpatine. What are you talking about?
Yeah, true, yeah.
What are you talking about?
All right, let me change that. He did, but as a Sith, he didn't. So he did, he still wasn't evil. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't able to do it. You are correct.
So Kylo stays on the dark side just when you think he turned to the light. I don't know. I didn't like that. I thought if anything, that was a scene that would emphasize him turning to the light, and he didn't. And Rey was like, don't go down that path, don't go this way, or whatever she said. And it was like, all right, I thought, you know what The Last Jedi for me was? It was and I heard someone else say this, and it made a lot of sense. It was a, I got you kind of moment. It's like, you think it's going one way, and it goes the complete opposite way. And it's
Mark
almost
Hamill
like,
warned us.
Yeah.
And in that case, though, I personally didn't have a problem with it, because then if you think about it, well, if Kylo goes light and Rey is light, and Snoke's dead, I mean, it's so basically it's just a, you know, the First Order that's run by Hux, who's already the butt of every joke. Like, who's the enemy? You know, who's the big baddie? Because, you know, again, at the end of the day, as much as there's a lot of people that are like, oh, well, this movie is so meta, and it's not just black and white and good versus evil. It does come down, at the end of the day, it really is that. To me, at least. At least when I'm being a fan of Star Wars and being a fan of these films. But, yeah, I mean, I know what you mean, though, Rob, as far as, like, you know, them trying to surprise you. Surprise, it wasn't what you thought. Yeah. But I think in that respect, I give it a pass, because, again, they're trying to build this character of Kylo as this unpredictable guy. And in some ways, that's almost as dangerous as just pure evil, because you don't know what you're going up against.
No, that's true. Very, very true.
I like it.
I didn't know if he was going to, you know, kill Leia at that one moment. You're mentally conflicted. You don't know what's going through this guy's mind. Yeah. And then he almost seemed relieved after, you know?
Relieved that someone else killed her?
Yeah.
I relieved that it wasn't him.
He's a intriguing fella, that Kylo Ren.
So guys, so what's the final verdict on The Last Jedi for each of us?
Ranking it out of 10.
The final verdict for me is that, you ever have someone spit in your food? You know, like, you got this great shit you just spent hours cooking, in this case 40 years, and someone just fucking hocks a loogie in it.
I think Rian Johnson ate a lot of Indian food and Rian had a Johnson, script nearby.
He motherfuckers. Fuck our Indian food. He spit in my motherfucking Cheerios. That's what he did. And it's not cool. And I really do wish I liked this movie. But Rob
too.
Solo signing off, like, I don't like this movie. I'm looking at the positives, and you know what? Over time, I might accept it the way I accepted The Force Awakens, because I didn't like The Force Awakens when I first saw it. The only movie I've liked since Disney has taken over was Rogue One. I ran out of Rogue One like a fucking stormtrooper shooting shit. And I'll never
like
forget.
like a cheer at Imwe,
yeah. And I know a lot of fans don't like Rogue One, and I just don't get that. And
me neither.
You can say that it has to do with the Darth Vader scene, but it doesn't. The whole movie was good. I wasn't even expecting that Darth Vader scene, and I felt good up to that point. It's a feeling, it's a thing, it's a franchise, it feels a certain way. Politics are involved, but not in the level that The Last Jedi displayed. and they're not so far left or right as The Last Jedi displayed. There's an underlining kind of politics that's come with the past continuity of the Star Wars universe. And I think they overdid it. I think Rian Johnson, if they allowed him to write this on his own, which I highly doubt they did, it was poorly written. It was too Disney, I guess I should say.
Yeah,
there were some Disney. There were definitely some Disney moments where, yeah, it took me out of the movie.
Yeah, I don't like the porgs. I like the way the porgs sound in the commercial. Again, they're misleading me through these commercials because the porgs sounded cool, but I think they changed the way the porgs sounded in the movie. Do you guys catch that?
I don't even remember the porgs.
I remember that stupid Chewy scene where he's like, mm-mm.
None of those scenes were substantial to me. Like, I feel like I don't remember seeing C-3PO or Chewie in this movie as much as, like, Force Awakens, or it didn't really stand out.
I have to watch it again. I'm going to sit down.
I saw it twice.
Yeah.
That's bad, because I saw the other two movies, like, four times in the theater.
Oh, yeah. Oh boy. I saw The Force Awakens, like, seven times in the theater.
Old Ben, how many times did you see The Last Jedi?
I saw it three times.
All right. I saw it twice. Darth Dylan saw it twice. Obviously, that shows that we're not as big as fans as some of the other movies. For people who are comparing this movie to The Empire Strikes Back, shame on you.
Well, it essentially has a lot of similar elements and structure. No, I mean, it's like, I think it's structured the same.
The trailers
are a psychological thing to make people think they're watching The Empire Strikes Back.
The trailers feel dark. Yeah. And obviously I'm saying they didn't show a lot of that movie in the trailers because they know people would have been like, that's stupid. And a lot of people,
Hux's one-liners.
Yeah. A lot of people, fan-based people, and I'm not talking about the critics. I give no shit about what the critics say. Because at this point, I think they're bought and paid. What I look at is the audience score. And if you guys want to pull it up, we could even look at the Rotten Tomatoes score. There's obviously
49%.
There's a problem with this film, you know? And I hate
it. The idea, you know what it is for me? I think the intentions were good. I think the intentions were good. I think that the ideas were not executed properly. There was a pacing issue, and I think, Dylan, going back to what you said, it seemed like it was let's just put this stuff together like a montage. I think that's what you were saying,
sandwich.
much like what you said earlier too. Like, I so wanted to love this movie. I so wanted to say, you know what? Oh, yeah, that's Star Wars, you know, and kind of how I felt like after Rogue One, where I'm like, yes, this is something. And I don't know. Again, I don't know. Again, for people that loved it, that's awesome. People that didn't love it, that's everyone's got their, you know, thing.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Oh, yeah.
But I think overall, I guess we all can say that it fell short of expectation on certain things. And there was a lot of positive stuff. And I think, again, the most positive thing for me is that, you know, going forward in JJ We Trust, I guess we can say, is that I think Episode 9 is going to be at the very least we're hoping that it's a new hope that it's going to be something that they're gonna be able to wrap up everything and give a very memorable, especially with, you know, Carrie Fisher passing, a very good, memorable, send off for her. So looking forward, again, Episode 9, we know nothing about it. All we know is JJ and is writing it and directing it. And Chris Terrio, who has written a bunch of stuff with Ben Affleck, and he wrote, was it Batman v Superman?
Yeah.
Okay. Not a big fan, but we can't hold that against him. Here's just keeping our fingers crossed that JJ, who brought us Episode 7, who, hey, you know what? You guys remember this? Well, I'm bringing this back. Maybe he can give us that magic along with bringing something new that people are going to enjoy. That's not going to be so out there and out of place.
He was a producer on this film. Now, my question is,
what does that really mean, though?
You know? I mean, I would say he had some say in the story. Now, a lot of fans feel Rian Johnson threw The Force Awakens out the fucking window.
See that?
Yeah. Like, did he allow?
Knights of Ren?
Yeah. Did he allow this to happen in that sense, knowing that there was something else he could write that would conclude this trilogy, looking at the script that Rian Johnson wrote?
That's a question.
I don't know. Again, like I said before, I think that maybe this is a lesson that they need to learn, but I felt like there's got to be, going forward, a plan in place of here's where, at least a very loose sort of blueprint of this is, here are our characters, here is where we want to go with them. And I just felt like episode 7 set up a lot of great characters. I do like the character of Rey, though I wish she had a little bit more to overcome. I mean, besides the fact that her parents, like, which we still don't know. And that was kind of interesting because I felt like it's a great character, but the only thing that really she had this thing of is she doesn't know her place in the world and her parents. But then Rian Johnson went ahead and said, but her parents really aren't that important.
Which is fine. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, he's teasing now that that's not even true.
What I'm not okay with is Snoke being insignificant, you know?
Yeah, that's what Ben said when we left. He was a red herring.
Yeah, I mean, but again, episode 9 might, you know, maybe JJ can, you know, clear up a lot of things, that a lot of questions that need to be answered, and maybe it'll make sense and we'll all come back and do our episode 9 wrap up and be like, all right, well, you know what, again, episode 8, there were things that we definitely had issues with, but this got wrapped up and it's not as bad as we thought it was, but we'll see. I mean, that time will tell.
I hope so.
Thing is, I think that the new series is a JJ Abrams sandwich. Episode 7 is JJ Abrams, the piece of bread. Rian Johnson is the inside, and then episode 9 is the other piece of bread, which is J.J. Abrams.
I heard Trevorrow had a pretty good script for the episode 9.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, I heard it. It was good.
I forgot about him.
All right, so last thoughts on The Last Jedi, guys. Old Ben, what do you think? Last thoughts?
This is my thing. I enjoyed certain aspects of this movie, but overall I didn't love it like I thought I would. Like I said, kind of in the middle with everything, felt like it just didn't live up to my expectations. And of course, you know, we all have these huge expectations of what a Star Wars movie should be like, because it's gospel, it's religion to us.
Yeah,
but yeah, I was hoping for certain things. There were certain things that surprised me where I was like, you know what, I didn't mind that. I actually think that's pretty cool. But I think moving forward, we have to just see what JJ can do with episode 9. And for me, again, the Rey Kylo dynamic worked. It was probably the best part of the movie, which is a very positive thing moving forward. And hoping that JJ and his team can bring those two and put them front and center. And that's give us a great send off to this 9, you know, movie amazing run. So that's my take on it. And where is that Han Solo trailer?
Supposedly it's coming tomorrow night. Darth Dylan, any last thoughts on The Last Jedi?
For me, with Force Awakens, I viewed it as a really great movie experience because, you know, Star Wars was back. I saw it 4 times. I enjoyed it each time. You know, it increasingly got better. And the thing is with that, after, I don't know if I could sit down and watch it at home just because I feel like I played it out. With The Last Jedi, I saw it twice in the theater.
Yeah.
And the second time, I didn't like it as much. And I really don't want to watch it at home. So that says something.
But you will own it in your collection, though. You know you're going to have to buy it.
Yeah. But
I'm buying
it. Like I said, there are new things that, you know, I think are pretty cool. I don't know. The Luke Force projection, Rian Johnson tweeted something. It's like a doppelganger. I don't know. I think some of the things are new and different, and I like Ben said, the Rey and Kylo dynamic was cool. I like it, and it going forward, it's going to be good.
Yeah,
and Ben brought new light to the Poe Dameron whole story.
Yeah,
he's a good character. It's just he got caught up with a lot of just out of place kind of jokes and dialogue in certain respects.
The jokes killed it for me, and I feel like the tone could have been a lot more sinister. This could have been the dark Star Wars film that we were looking for and hoping for, and it was just a really big missed opportunity, and leaving the theater was very somber for me, and I don't know if my feelings are going to change because I was very optimistic.
Yeah.
All right. We all were, yeah.
What about you, Rob?
My last thought... I hate to be negative. I, I really do hate it.
I want to be positive.
I do. But I'm not going to pretend I'm someone I'm not. Can we erase it? Just hop in a time machine and go back. I woke up that Friday morning hoping in all my heart that it was actually Thursday, and it was all a very bad dream. The trailers are very misleading. I was so hype. You know what I mean? Like, we talked about it in episode 7 of Twi'lek Talk. And if you listen to that episode, I'm so optimistic.
You're so happy.
I was so happy. It looked like something that was just going to really do it for me, you know? But it was no Empire. Never in a gazillion years would I have thought for a microsecond that I would want J.J. Abrams back. I feel deflated. You know, I feel defeated. I ask myself, what is the point of even questioning anything? But on a positive note, this reminds me that I still have the novels, the comics, the animated shows. These things can be good, and you have years of entertainment. So what this does for me, as a Star Wars, enthusiastic fan, I look at the other things. This is what it does. It's not just the movies. There's so many things. The comics, me and Ben, we're indulging in the Darth Vader comic.
Which is very good, by the way.
So good. I think we should.
Yeah, I got into it a little bit. It was good.
It's great. I'm loving it. I love the novels. Novels are a lot of fun. It's just, you know, there's always more. And I will always love Star Wars, and there's always more to.
And that's the great thing, is because, you know, this just goes beyond, oh, well, we didn't like Last Jedi, it wasn't our favorite, so forget it, I'm done. No, there's so much. We're Star Wars fans, and we love Star Wars, so.
Yeah,
you know, there's not going to be, it's like, maybe an example is like, say, take Bob Dylan. Like, say you're a big Bob Dylan fan. There's probably an album out there, and he's put out, you know, 20 or 30 or so. There might be one album where he might be like, what was he smoking? It's terrible. But does that ruin Bob Dylan for you?
Yeah.
Hopefully not. I mean, you know, with Star Wars, with The Last Jedi. Yeah. I mean, we all thought it was going to be something different.
Yeah.
Not exactly sure what that was, but I feel like, even though, again, there were things that were questionable that we didn't like, you know, I guess overall, we still have hope that, you know, there's more to come. It's not like that's the end of Star Wars. Good night. You know, have a pleasant tomorrow. It's like, no, there's going to be a Han Solo movie coming out. There's also, again, it hasn't been official, but there's going to be most likely an Obi-Wan movie with Ewan McGregor starring.
Oh, I saw him working out with the beard.
Yeah,
there's a lot of speculation.
You know, there's comic books, there's novels, there's going to be another after Star Wars Rebels is another thing we'll have to talk about soon. Star Wars Rebels is still, going on. And there's going to probably be another Dave Filoni-related
animated
series. And then possibly a live-action thing for when Disney goes to their their paid service. Yeah. So we've got
Ryan Johnson's trilogy.
And plus two, you know what, guys? Again, we can always go back to what we like. We can always rewatch, Empire and be like, yeah, I'm back there. And that's why, you know, we love this stuff, is that we can always go back. We can enjoy what we like. And that's why we love this stuff.
Oh, you wise old bastard, you. You're so right.
Bastard.
You're totally right. We do get all, it's a franchise. Even the toys are fun. It's great. Speaking of Rebels real quick, they just dropped the first trailer of the second half of season 4, the final season of Star Wars Rebels. And I am super excited. It looks great. I'm into it. So we got a lot to look forward. We got the Rebels. We got the Han Solo movie. They just dropped Phasma book, which I actually enjoyed Phasma in this movie. I think that was one of the best parts of the movie, was the Phasma scene.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, we didn't get into that. I'm sad they killed her. Because
spoiler alert.
She looked awesome. She looked so cool in that scene. When she pulls out that little pistol, and starts firing at Finn.
Oh, yeah.
That looked amazing.
It was short-lived.
Short-lived. It happened. It came and went so fast. But I was like, that was a cool Phasma. I wish she'd be in episode 9. Maybe she survived. Who knows?
You know what? She might be that, you know, one person that, you know, just keeps on coming back. You know, like
she might be.
Well, the thing is, people like to talk shit about Phasma. But then again, how often did we see Boba Fett in the original trilogy?
Oh, totally, yeah.
It's one of those characters.
We've already gotten more screen time of Phasma than Boba Fett, right?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah. Equal. But, you know, enough. Whatever. I do wish she didn't die. I would have liked to seen her in episode 9. But like old Ben said, we do have all the other things. Everything is good, man. I'm trying to stay positive.
All is well. Like this has been a good therapy session.
I'm glad we were able to talk this through, guys.
Guys. I appreciate it. That was great. I feel like I went through therapy.
I know. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to continue on with the Rian Johnson trilogy after the Great Divide?
I don't think that they're... I don't think they're going to derail that. I think that's going to still be a thing. Plus, who knows? It might be something... Whatever series he's doing, whatever time period, that's more of his thing. You know what I mean? If it's an old Republic setting, maybe he does better with that than The Last Jedi.
I could see
what I think is going to happen. I think Rian Johnson is going to go into hiding like he made Luke.
Well, maybe it's all about the Outer Rim. It's sort of this ironic sort of thing where he's like, you know, much like the Empire, you know, he goes to the Outer Rim and makes a movie about it.
He loves the Outer Rim. Totally.
Unknown space. So, but yeah, we'll hit on all of that and much, much more, I'm sure, coming up.
Yeah. That was episode 8 of Twi'lek Talk, our Last Jedi review. I'm Rob Solo. I'm here with Darth Dylan. Thanks, guys. And old Ben.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
Of course.
Stay tuned for Twi'lek Talk episode 9. And signing off. Anything you guys want to say before we go?
Han Solo trailer, baby.
Tomorrow night.
I don't know why I keep saying night.
It's not necessarily tomorrow night. It could be tomorrow morning.
Yeah, during the
right
Super
now.
Bowl tomorrow.
Where am
right?
I getting this night thing from?
I don't know.
All right. Last Jedi. I wish I liked it more.
Yeah. Oh, we got to correlate our tickets for Han Solo, don't we?
I owe old Ben money.
Yes.
What? Oh.
Oh, wait, no, that's for something else.
On that note, no.
No, yeah, let's get some tickets, Twi'lek Talk tickets. We always see every Star Wars movie on opening night or Thursday night.
Let's get a GoFundMe going.
Yeah.
Yeah, go fund us.
Absolutely. Till next time, stay tuned. Check us out at Twi'lekTalk.com. Email us at Twi'lekTalk@gmail.com. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.